The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid, wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It's Monday, March 1st. Oh, my goodness. This is March. We've made it. I hope John Rothstein doesn't sue me for using that. Anyway, make sure and leave a five-star review. We have mailbags coming every single Friday. And if you leave a five-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will answer any questions that you may have. You can even ask a question about a mock draft, which is what we'll be doing today as we look at our full first round mock draft. Also, we have the mailbag from last week in the feed. We talked Russell Wilson to Sean Watson. Lots of good content there. I'm sure we'll be talking about Russell Wilson a lot more because that stuff is getting heated. Coming up later this week, the AFC South offseason priorities and Pete Prisco's top 100 free agents. That's right. Pete Prisco will grace this podcast with his presence. Also, you know, it's baseball season and a new podcast is joining the family. For years, Fantasy Baseball Today has been delivering league winning analysis and advice as part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Now the team is coming at you fast with a brand new feed. Don't worry. The old one stays the same. The Fantasy Baseball Today podcast, Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 podcast is your audio outlet for fantasy news and advice in 5 minutes or fewer. It'll feature familiar voices like Frank Stanfill, Scott White, and Chris Towers as they break down what matters most to help you win your league in a quick hitting format. Available first thing in the morning, Monday through Friday. Download and subscribe to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5 on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, your smart speakers, and anywhere else podcasts are found. I am excited about that podcast because I'm a fantasy baseball junkie, but I don't have time during my busy schedule, Ryan Wilson and Chris Chiposo, because I'm always podcasting myself to actually listen to a full podcast. But, you know how it is.
That's why they have Fantasy Baseball Today in 5. I can't wait till they do Pick Six Podcast in 5 hours because there's no way. Imagine Pick Six Podcast in 10 minutes. It's just inconceivable unless you're not here.
Well, this podcast was supposed to be a daily 30-minute podcast.
Right, exactly.
Our boss, EK, our podcast czar, sort of, you know, like ESPN Daily jumped on it too, but he was the guy who wanted to introduce a daily short hitting podcast to the sports landscape. And he's finally been able to do it. He just picked the wrong person and the wrong subject matter with his, first option, me and football. Traps, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Doing pretty good, Will. I'm excited to be doing this. It is March. I told Ryan off air, it's a bummer that we don't have a combine this year, but I'm glad that I'm not having to like recover for 2 weeks after the combine, like landing back in Indy. My body is typically like borderline dead when I get home. So I'm glad for that, but I wish we could have been there in Indy this past week again.
Well, yeah. Brinson doesn't get to go to Indy anyway, so he's fine.
There's no, I would have gone this year. I was going this year. You know, speaking of disrespectful,
yeah,
very disrespectful of you to do this podcast with a live video feed on YouTube, youtube.com/pick6. We'll be doing that every Sunday around 4 in the Sunday afternoon. Very disrespectful of you not to wear red in honor of Tiger Woods.
I know. I should have. I'm a big Tiger fan. So yeah.
Both of you. I'm the only one who wore red. Oh,
there you go.
Ryan with the red backlight. There you go. I don't know if you saw it, but all the golfers at the WGC. the WGC and at the Puerto Rico Open. Everybody's wearing red, except like Brooks Koepka. No red.
Of course.
What about DeChambeau? Did he wear red?
They actually didn't show a single shot of Bryson, so I'm not sure. But like Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy are both wearing red shirts, black pants, and they're playing together. It's sort of annoying.
I mean, that's why everyone's not wearing red except you.
I just happened to grab a red shirt and thought Tiger.
All right. Well, what we got?
The energy that Ryan Wilson brings to this show on a daily basis. Absolutely astounding. It's your mock draft, I think, right? Whose mock draft is this? Yours or Trapp's?
It's mine, last I checked.
Yeah, okay.
Mock draft number 26.
Number 26. Oof. Are you tired of it? Ryan. Are you ready for it to end?
It is. I'm sure Trapp's will agree with this. And we had the same conversation last week with Josh Edwards. It's Groundhog Day. I mean, there's no other site that I don't believe where they do a mock draft every week. Now, understand, people love to read mock drafts and yell and scream about them. So I understand that and I'm fine doing them. And it's actually good for the process. But, it's Groundhog Day. I feel like Bill Murray.
Yeah, I'm with you. But let's dive into your mock draft. We're going to have three full mock drafts in the lead up to the actual draft. This one pre-free agency, one post-free agency, and the one the week of the draft. I've really got to dive in on these prospects. I just haven't even I don't even feel like I'm there yet. But the easy one, of course, is number one overall. Now look, Trapps, you have in the past had controversial quarterback opinions.
Yeah.
Do you have anyone other than, you don't have like a Zach Wilson over Trevor Lawrence situation, do you?
No, I'm not one of those people that's around the internet apparently members of a team that have Zach Wilson ahead of Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence is by far the best quarterback prospect, not only this year, but he's a better version of Andrew Luck. And I think if you really look at what Peyton Manning was bringing to the table in 1998, like Zach Wilson can do things Peyton Manning couldn't do coming out of college. So he's like the best quarterback prospect in a very, very long time.
Agreed. And Ryan Wilson, of course, has him going first in this latest mock draft. So no surprise there. Trapps, do you agree with Wilson that the Jets should take Wilson, Zach Wilson, with their second overall pick?
Absolutely. And I've done like a lot of radio spots where like the host will ask me like, oh, should the Jets hang on to Sam Darnold and go in a different direction at number two? Absolutely not. Sam Darnold, there's a lot of people that want to still believe that he can be this great quarterback. I think 3 years in the NFL and no, his situation was not great with the Jets. But after 3 years with only a few flashes and a lot of disappointing play, you kind of know what you have with Sam Darnold, even though he is pretty young. You're picking number two overall. I think their GM, Joe Douglas, is sneaky on the hot seat. Pick Zach Wilson.
Whoa, what?
Yeah, Stephen. What? If the Jets are bad again, don't you think Joe Douglas would be on the hot seat like mid-November?
I disagree. I think Joe Douglas is fine. Now look, I mean, maybe things change when Woody Johnson comes back and he presses on him, but like Joe Douglas was hired in the middle of last year, the beginning of last year, right? Like I think he gets at least 2 years with Robert Saleh.
I'll say this, I can agree with that point, but if they pass on Zach Wilson and go like Penei Sewell or a defensive player or a wide receiver, try to ride it out with Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson is tearing up the league, I think that would put him more on the hot seat. So yes, I agree with Ryan. Pick Zach Wilson. Let him be your franchise quarterback of the future.
Okay. I just think, Ryan, do you have any concerns for Joe Douglas's job security? See, I don't think it matters whether he takes Wilson or sticks with Darnold, because Darnold's not his guy. Like, he didn't draft Darnold. So you can always pin it on the last guy. Now, I will agree with you that if Zach Wilson is lighting it up, that people will be like, whoa, like Joe Douglas, why wouldn't you take Zach Wilson?
Yeah. This is the first that I've heard concerns about Joe Douglas's job. But, you know, again, Woody Johnson's been overseas doing his thing. So who knows where his mind's at. I will say this, and I say this every week when the weeks that I have Zach Wilson going number two to the Jets, I don't know what Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh's plan is for Sam Darnold. They have not said. So if they're going to roll with Sam Darnold, I'm fine with them trading down. I have no issue with that whatsoever. And either taking an offensive lineman or even a wide receiver or whatever they want. Stockpiling picks. They have all this cap space. They already have a ton of picks. I think they have six of the first 100. So there are any number of directions they can go if they're not in love with Zach Wilson. But there's a lot to like about Zach Wilson. I know there's only 1 year of productivity, but you watched 2019 where he had shoulder injury. I think he even had a foot injury. some of the games he played okay. He wasn't like yeah. he was just a terrible quarterback. But I think, you know, the light came on last season. They changed the offense, ran that wide zone, and he had a ton of success. So if the Jets like him, they can take him. If not, there will be a team I'm almost certain willing to trade up and get him. So I think Joe Douglas's job is fine. That's just my gut reaction. I haven't talked to anyone about it, but I think more importantly, the biggest question for them, roll with Sam Darnold for a year or two more, trade down, stay put, take Zach Wilson, stay put and take Penei Sewell even. That's also a possibility, but I don't think anyone would ding them for taking a quarterback here.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing with Penei Sewell is, do you want to spend a second overall pick on a right tackle? Or
he's a left tackle.
Exactly. But so is Mekhi Becton, who looked like he's being
I see what you're saying. Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, one of those, I mean, that means you're going to have used a high pick on someone who is going to play tackle.
I'll put it to you this way. Should the Colts have taken Quentin Nelson, a guard, with a top 10 pick? In retrospect, yeah. At the time, people were killing him, right? Yeah. So if he's good and he makes Sam Darnold better, I think absolutely. Let me put it to you another way. If all you have to do is draft any offensive lineman to make Sam Darnold 25% better, would you do that with the number 2 overall pick?
Yes. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't take Penei Sewell, put him at left tackle, put Mekhi Becton at right tackle and have it not work, or put Penei Sewell at right tackle.
Right.
Or play Penei Sewell at guard. I'm not saying, and I haven't studied Penei Sewell enough to know whether that would work. I know he is a very good offensive lineman and a very good tackle and like one of the best tackle prospects to come out of the class. My preference if I'm the Jets is, give Sam Darnold, unless you are just in love with Zach Wilson. And if you are, then take Zach Wilson. If you think he is the future at quarterback, then take him. I think a trade down is the move, though, because to me, there are going to be teams, whether it's Philadelphia potentially. The Bengals are out of the mix for that. But, certainly.
Falcons could even trade up before.
The Falcons could be interested in trading up. The Panthers could be interested in trading up if they don't land somebody in free agency or before the draft. I think the Broncos have to be a consideration for potentially trading up. Even the Cowboys at 10. I think that's unlikely if they tag Dak Prescott. But there are all these teams that are going to be interested in the quarterback spot. And you can get a ton of picks for that number 2 overall selection, which is exactly what Indianapolis did with the Jets in that very Quentin Nelson draft.
I don't disagree with that.
One thing, Joe Douglas was hired in 2019, so it has been 2 seasons in New York. But I'm not gonna, try to push that. I think he's certainly on the hot seat. I just think if the Jets have another bad season, there'll be people kind of asking for it.
He was hired in the middle of 2019.
Yeah.
But like 2019 is not his year.
True. True.
You know what I'm saying? Like he can't get dinged in my, cause 2019 they finished 7-9. Like Joe Douglas had nothing to do with 2019. I mean, he came in as the GM because Maccagnan was fired they let Maccagnan do all of free agency, get ready for the season, and then fired him. Like, what the hell's the point? And then they hired, Douglas. So, yeah, I mean, I understand. Like, I think he really has one full season and it was a terrible year. But if they're any better I think they'll give him 2 or 3 years with Robert Saleh personally. I just think he's going to get some leeway.
Yeah. And if they trade down, they have 2 first round picks this year, 2 first round picks next year. They could really like load up. Like that is a general manager's dream in the draft to have like a ton of early picks. They certainly could go offense, defense. We're talking about offensive line, quarterback, receiver. They have a ton of holes. So that actually would probably be the most prudent decision. Trade out a number 2, get some quality draft capital.
Okay. And then at number 3, the Miami Dolphins have and look, that number 2 pick could become Deshaun Watson too. You know, we don't know how that's going to play out, of course, either. At number 3, we have the Miami Dolphins who acquired that pick from the Houston Texans in the Laremy Tunsil trade. Wilson, you have Ja'Marr Chase here. Is he your, do you think he's the best wide receiver in this class?
Yeah, it's close, but he is my wide receiver numero uno. A little Spanish there on you. He's really good. I think the issue is that he didn't play last year. So, and we're all guilty of watching other people play and being enthralled with other people. Devontae Smith, among them, he had the Heisman Trophy winning season because he played like the Heisman Trophy winner. He is a fantastic football player. So is his teammate Jalen Waddle. But I think pound for pound, certainly, literally, and in terms of his versatility and everything he's able to do, Ja'Marr Chase, I like just slightly more. And there's not a huge gap like there is between Trevor Lawrence and whoever your quarterback 2 is. It's close. So if you're selling Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith, I would certainly be willing to listen to that. I just don't know that this is too early for a wide receiver. Like, I love Ja'Marr Chase, but I've had them, the offense trading down in the past. I've had them taking an offensive lineman like Penei Sewell or even Rashawn Slater, who can come in right away and help Tua, and then circle back later and with your other first-round pick and get a wide receiver there if that's what you want. Because historically, wide receivers that go high don't necessarily ball out. I mean, just look at last year. The first wide receiver off the board was Henry Ruggs at 12. You go to 22, and Justin Jefferson was the fifth wide receiver drafted. Yes, he was. He had the best season of anyone. And the point being is that, yeah, you can sort of make projections on these kids in college, but you have no idea how that's going to translate at the next level. I love Jalen Reagor going to the Eagles. I would imagine Debo would agree with me that Jalen Reagor didn't play the type of football that we were hoping to see from him. But that doesn't mean he's not a good player. It's just that whatever the reason, it didn't work out. So the point being that maybe Ja'Marr Chase isn't worth the third overall pick, and I'm not sure he is. But if the Dolphins did it, I would certainly understand why. Number one, he's a really good player. Number two, Tua has to get playmakers. Tua has to get better, and part of getting him better is surrounding him with people that can, you know, make plays after the catch.
Yeah, two AFC East teams in a similar situation. I think the Dolphins could certainly entertain a trade down. I would actually pick Jalen Waddle. I think his traits, his speed, his explosiveness, route running, I think are a little bit more worthy of being a top five pick at the receiver spot. I agree with Ryan though. Typically, you know, wide receivers that go super early aren't instant home runs, but I think just looking at history, usually the guys that do go early and are the first wide receivers are the guys that are super fast and just dynamic players down the field and with the ball in their hands. You would have Jalen Waddle back with Tua Tagovailoa, but I think overall trading down would probably make the most sense, even for a team in the Dolphins that has two first round picks.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. I mean, and look, we mentioned that the Jets could trade for Deshaun Watson. Miami could too. You know, that pick that Houston had is certainly back in play, potentially for the, potentially for the Texans to get back if the Dolphins want to try and acquire Deshaun Watson. It would be so tough for me to give up, to trade for the pick that I already had. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah. It just feels like basically a concession. Justin Fields at number four to the Falcons. Ryan, I don't mind the pick at all. I mean, like, I think the Falcons need to think about the long-term future of the quarterback. I'm not sure I love Justin Fields this much. And I feel like the Falcons might be more interested in getting, whether it's a defensive player or I don't know if they'll go offensive lineman because they've used lots of picks on offensive linemen, Caleb McGarry and Chris Lindstrom in recent years. And I don't know if they need a wide receiver, but it just feels like they might be trying maybe more than people think to win in 2021, and Fields doesn't exactly do that for them.
Yeah, so they need edge rusher, cornerback even. Tight end, actually, it's a surprising need. Hayden Hurst has got one more year left in this deal. I think he's the only tight end under contract. I got yelled at a lot last week when I had Kyle Pitts going there. Mm. But you could argue that Kyle Pitts is the best pass catcher in this draft class and quarterback. So there's not a situation where Matt Ryan isn't playing next year. His salary cap is such that I think he almost certainly has to play.
I think he's playing 2 years for Atlanta. That's my take. And I don't think it's that crazy, but certainly 1 year minimum.
So a couple things. So if you like Justin Fields and you're the Falcons, you're Arthur Smith, new coach, you're Terry Fontenot, new GM. I think his first name's Terry. And you like Justin Fields, you probably think long and hard about taking him here. But number one, because he's a really good college player. And number two, as we sit here, and things will certainly change, the 2022 class doesn't look that hot, to borrow a BMAC phrase, in terms of the quarterback class. So that's something you have to think about. Now, you could go free agency or whatever. You could certainly have other avenues. But here's the thing about Justin Fields. I like Justin Fields a lot. I was talking to someone in the league about this a few weeks ago, and here's what you have to remember. Justin Fields has played a season less, basically, than Trevor Lawrence. In year two, Trevor Lawrence sucked. Early on, he was not good as a sophomore. He got better as the year went on and finished strong. And this year he was really good when he was on the field. He had a week or two off with COVID. But the point is that Justin Fields struggled at times this year because he's a young player and he made mistakes that young players make. And, the way it was explained to me is that if Justin Fields is entering his sophomore or junior year in college, you're pumped about where Justin Fields is. If he's a senior coming out, you're like, well, okay, I have some concerns. You have the concerns that we have. Sometimes he gets stuck on a read. Sometimes he doesn't make the best decisions. Sometimes he's quick to run the ball instead of throw it, and that's fine. That's not a big issue for me in terms of him not being a top 10, top 15 talent. So if the Falcons like him, I think you take him there, even though if he's not going to play immediately. And I think that's actually best case. Of course, I said the same thing last year about Justin Herbert not playing immediately. And I blew it right in my face. But I think that Justin Herbert was a senior, and I thought he was what he was. He clearly wasn't. But I think Justin Fields is only going to get better.
Where do you have Fields, Hassle? I mean, Hassle, Traps. Why did I call you Hassle?
It's all good. I think it was the Chris, maybe.
He's
my number. He's my number three quarterback, but he's graded really high for me. Like, I would be fine with the Falcons picking him here. Kind of with the thought of like, yes, you can, there's a crop of good quarterbacks that enter the league every year, just about. But if you're the Falcons, like, you're not used to picking this high. And I think it's still a pretty good organization. So I think to have this selection as with their new GM there, to plan for the future and say, look, maybe Justin Fields, like Ryan is saying, is not a totally finished product. Great. Sit him behind Matt Ryan. And to your point, Will, the Falcons were 2-8 in one score games last year. So there's just right there, like, there is, some indication that they're going to rebound. They could go in a different direction, but I think when you're picking this high, especially if you're not a team that's used to picking in the top five, you know, four or five, you pick a quarterback that does have all the natural talent that Justin Fields certainly has, arm strength, very accurate, and that athleticism. Let him be in a mentorship behind Matt Ryan that's not a crazy athlete, but knows where to go with the football, can read coverages, could teach Justin Fields for a season or two. That cap hit is $40 million this year. It's over $41 million in 2022. Then you can make your decision at the most valuable position, you know, in 2022 when Matt Ryan's a little older.
Yeah. I mean, I understand the construct of, you know, you don't pick here very often, but
yeah,
treating it like that often is how you end up picking there more often. Like the Giants haven't picked this high since Eli Manning was a rookie. It's like, well, now they've been back here three or four times since then. So I mean, you mean like it's, I know what you're saying. The cap hit. Yeah. For that's what I mean. The dead cap money for Matt Ryan in 2022 is $26.5 million. I mean, it's not unsubstantial. And even a post June 1 release is 17.9. So it makes a lot more. And then if you push it back to 2023, and this is sort of my argument, it's $8.6 million. He's 38 then. Like that's, and that's the final year of his contract. So you could just cut him before you let him play two more seasons and cut him before the 2023 year, or maybe he retires and maybe he's done, or maybe he wants to go play two more years for Kyle Shanahan in San Francisco or something like that.
Let me ask you this though, because I don't have any issue with that at all. And, this is sort of, previewing my comments on Mac Jones. But if we're all in on these quarterbacks that run 4.5s and are really mobile in the pocket that are Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson and Russ Wilson, then Matt Ryan can't be around too much longer. I mean, that's the talking points. That's the talking points you hear about Mac Jones. Like he's a fat statue. Well, Matt Ryan isn't fat, but he's not exactly mobile.
I mean, Tom Brady just won the Super Bowl. So like it's,
I'm right there with you.
I think my issue is that if you're the Falcons, you sort of need to decide now whether you want to keep Matt Ryan for the next 2 years or not. Because if you just want 1 year, then draft Justin Fields and that's fine. If you draft Justin Fields and you're planning on, you know, cutting Matt Ryan, like letting Matt Ryan play for 2 years, I mean, that's a pretty substantial, like, you know, that's a win now team that is going to sit the fourth overall quarterback for 2 years. That's a long time.
Nobody sits for 2 years.
That's what I'm saying.
If Justin Fields gets drafted, there's a 98% chance he's playing by week 12. I mean, no one sat out last year even, right? Everyone played. Yeah, Joe Burrow, day one. Justin Herbert played because of the missed shots at, Tyrod.
Tyrod had his kidney stabbed or whatever, his liver stabbed.
Who were the other quarterbacks? I can't even remember who the other quarterbacks were.
Jordan Love didn't play, but that's.
Jordan Love, there you go.
That was just a unique situation.
But that's like sort of what the suggestion is that Atlanta would be doing. You know,
not the same quarterbacks though, right? I mean, it was crazy.
Justin Fields is good. He's a good quarterback prospect. And to use the Giants, reference that, you know, they normally weren't picking that high when they picked Daniel Jones at number six. Justin Fields is a much better quarterback prospect than Daniel Jones, has more upside and would be ready to play and produce a lot quicker than Daniel Jones did. So I think it's not just like, hey, the Falcons are just picking a quarterback because it's a quarterback and Matt Ryan's older. Justin Fields is still a really good prospect. Those two games, Northwestern and Indiana, kind of gave people some red flags. But I think in a lot of other draft classes, you'd be talking about him as like a number two overall lock. But just there's Zach Wilson and certainly Trevor Lawrence in front of him.
Okay. Fair enough. At number five, you have the Bengals taking Penei Sewell, which if he falls to five is a no-brainer. That is, yep. In fact, I think you could argue that the Bengals would be fairly well served to trade up with the Jets to get Penei Sewell at number two, which is kind of, or trade with the Dolphins. Go get Penei Sewell because you have to protect Joe Burrow. They don't have any protection and Penei Sewell would offer that. So that's a no-brainer. If the Bengals can find their way to getting Penei Sewell, they need to do it. I'm sure there'll be some controversy here. Number six overall, I have people who ask me, they're like, what's Ryan Wilson's deal? Is he on the take from Mac Jones' agent? Is he obsessed with Mac? Like who's paying him to prop up Mac Jones into the top 10? You have Mac Jones going sixth overall to the Eagles. What say you, Wilson?
I heard you badmouthing me on HQ on Friday, I think to Guerra about my Mac Jones love. So between that and the talk of David Tepper's balls was quite the segment for you.
I said testicles. That's the medical term.
I told her later, I appreciate her response, which was, what are we doing? What are we doing talking about gold balls? But anyway.
Brass testicles, please.
On his desk, just so yes. We're clear. I like Mac Jones, and I just sort of prepped it by talking about Matt Ryan and, you know, any conversation about what's going to happen. And I don't know, like it seems so hard to figure out what the Eagles' plans are. We talk about this all the time, but before I go any further, if Debo's available, I wonder what his thoughts are on Mac Jones. If I had to guess, he probably hates it because of Jalen Hurts and some sort of stability, but I don't know if Debo has any comments on the idea of getting Mac Jones at six overall.
I'm here and I don't like it.
It's just that I'm here and I'm not here for it.
Right. There you go.
I respect Ryan's opinion. He's obviously watched a lot more Mac Jones than me. He's watched a lot more of these quarterbacks. You just have these like opinions that you form in your head and you latch onto and I'm not going to be a fan if they select Mac Jones. There's not a ton of like actual game film reasoning behind it, but it's just one of those things I'm going to latch onto. I'm not here for Mac Jones.
So let me ask you this. What if they drafted like one of these athletic quarterbacks, like a Zach Wilson or a Justin Fields, would you feel better or you just want to roll with Jalen Hurts?
I would convince myself with Wilson or Fields. I knew I would get there with one of those two. I'm not, you know, we definitely have to take a quarterback, but I'm not opposed to it either.
So you're okay with a quarterback at six. Like you actually prefer that.
Yeah, I think I've kind of like, I needed to digest the Carson Wentz news, acknowledge and admit and go through the stages that he was actually moving on from the team. And now I'm at the point, I think Jalen Hurts can be okay, but if you really value someone at number six, go after it.
All right. No, I respect that. I think they have to think about it, even though it's so weird to figure out what they're trying to do, because when Doug Peterson got fired, as we talk about all the time, I thought that meant Carson Wentz was the guy, and then clearly that didn't work out. And then it sounded like Nick Sirianni, there were reports, I think, that said they were going to roll with Jalen Hurts. But I just can't imagine being there at six. And if you have a choice between two or three of these quarterbacks that you like, that you wouldn't take one. Like I think, and Brinson's mentioned this before, I don't think you can take Trey Lance out of North Dakota State because that's like the Texans drafting Derek Carr after
or the Washington football team drafting Justin Fields.
Yeah, less
like right after cutting Dwayne Haskins. I mean, it's the same. Like,
yeah, but Haskins never was any semblance of good with that organization.
Yeah,
neither is David Carr.
Yeah, he had a lot going against him. I mean, he's on a
and really, I think you could say, was Carson Wentz any good? Was he?
Yeah, 17 he was good, and 19 he was good.
I'm just trolling, D-Bag. Oh, classic.
Okay. But anyway, I love Mac Jones. I know he's chubby, or he has a dad bod. At least he's not chubby. But he ran a 4.8 in high school, so he's not. I think he would beat Matt Ryan and Tom Brady in a foot race. But I just like the way he plays, and he's not a modern day quarterback. I get all that, but I like him. So that's the horse I'm hitching my wagon to. It might blow up my face, but you know, just like in 2012, I think it was, I predicted that Andrew Luck was going to lead that team to the playoffs as a rookie. And look at me now.
Hey, look, I've told you this before, and so I respect you doing it. You got to play at your flag. Like if you're, I mean, as a, like Traps, I know, like we talked about the Mason Rudolph thing, but like, yeah. If your evaluation leads you to a position on a player, you should not change your evaluation based on groupthink. Like you should, like if Wilson, if you think that Mac Jones is the third best quarterback in this class, then you should stick with it and plant your flag. And like, what's the worst thing that's going to happen? You're going to look like Prisco for saying Christian Ponder is better than Cam Newton and you get retweeted a bunch. I mean, who cares? Like, it's not like you're going to, like, nothing bad is going to happen.
Well, yeah, I don't like Mac Jones as much as Ryan, but to his like defense, I think there is room for a hyper accurate quarterback that knows how to run a system, can get through his reads pretty quickly in this league where we're like looking for like the next Josh Allen and the next Patrick Mahomes. Like there's kind of a cycle that before Patrick Mahomes, nobody wanted an air raid quarterback. We still wanted, even in 2017, not that long ago, we wanted a pocket passer that did not really need to move around, that was just going to be stoic like Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Mitchell Trubisky went number two overall in the class with Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. So I do think in general, the league is moving toward these young improvisation guys like Josh Allen, like Watson, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson, but there could be some space for someone that, hey, is just really accurate and is going to get the ball out of his hands in a hurry. That is Mac Jones in this draft class. So we're all like following this trend, but maybe Ryan is actually ahead of the curve and these super accurate kind of surgical quarterbacks might come back into trend over the next couple of years.
I was going to say, Wilson, you know, the great irony of that would be if Mac Jones would have been a perfect fit for Doug Peterson.
Absolutely.
I mean, you run the system, you get the ball out quick, you're extremely accurate, you don't try and like extend plays too much, you can with your legs if you need to, but by and large, you want to be a system quarterback. That's why Nick Foles was good with Doug Peterson, because he ran the damn system. Carson Wentz didn't want to. Oh my goodness. I guess Nick Sirianni is technically a...
Well, look, that actually brings me to my next point. What if he's Phillip Rivers? What if he's 78% Phillip Rivers? You can live with that.
Yeah, you got 78% of a Hall of Fame career.
But I mean, the point is that everyone's so in love with these mobile quarterbacks that I think, and Traps hit on it. Mr. Trubisky's a mobile quarterback. Mr. Trubisky, by all accounts, sucks. Now he may be able to turn things around, but he did not have a good start to his career in Chicago. All I'm saying is that number one, we have no idea how these guys turn out. We have no idea. Just see Justin Herbert. Sorry. I have to apologize every time I say Justin Herbert because I got that one wrong. But I mean, you just don't know. I mean, Justin Fields could have to play immediately and be great. He could struggle. Trey Lance could play immediately and be great, even though he didn't play at all last season except for one crazy game. And I'm just saying Mac Jones, even though he's not the best athlete, has a chance to be a good football player.
Yeah, I agree.
Fair enough. All right, let's move on. We already talked about Jalen Waddle, who you have going 7 to the Lions. I think certainly everything is in play for the Lions here, including a trade down and, you know, including a trade up for a quarterback. But more than likely, you have to think, you know, they just stay here and take the best player available. I mean, who the hell knows what they're going to do?
Dan Campbell, we have no idea what that.
Well, yeah. And we don't have they need everything. Everything.
Yes. Both sides of the ball.
I mean, what position are they set at? I don't think they have a single strength of the team.
Running back, maybe? DeAndre Swift?
Yeah. They don't need to invest any, and, they don't need to invest any more second round picks in running backs. I agree.
And TJ Hawkinson. No. TJ Hawkinson and
Hawkinson. Hawkinson. All right. Yes.
So they got two players.
Swift and Hawkinson are good players.
And Jeffrey Okuda, who had a not great rookie season, but hopefully he'll bounce back.
Yeah. And Kenny Galladay will probably be franchise tagged. So there's some pieces on offense for Jared Goff to work with. But yeah, if you take Jalen Waddle at 7, that's fine. Just, you know, don't screw it up. The Panthers, Trey Lance. Oh, goodness gracious. Sell me on Trey Lance as a theoretical Panthers fan, Wilson.
Oh man, God. He's basically Cam Newton without the experience and he's a better thrower of the ball. He comes from a run heavy offense, North Dakota State, FCS, all that stuff. Didn't play this year except for the Central Arkansas game, which he didn't play great, but no one cares. You talk to people like, we don't give a crap just because it's one game in the middle of the season that no one really prepared for. But, he's been working out ever since the season ended for him. And he's incredibly physical. He can run the ball. He might be the best. He probably is the best runner in this draft class among the quarterbacks. He can throw the ball a mile. I mean, he does a lot of the things you want NFL quarterbacks to do. The guys we've been talking about, the Kyler Murrays and Lamar Jacksons and Russ Wilsons and so on. Patrick Mahomes and he's smart. Like you talk to the folks on his coaching staff and they gave him a lot to have to decipher before the snap. He makes a lot of good decisions. He just hasn't played a ton of football. So that's the thing. So again, this is a situation where if you're bringing Teddy Bridgewater back for a year, let Trey Lance learn. I would imagine, you know, as I joked earlier, that at some point you're going to throw him out there anyway as a rookie, but at least give him a month or two to sort of take it all in. I think he's going to be good. And if you told me in 5 years he was the best quarterback among this in this group, including Trevor Lawrence, I'd be like, oh, okay, I can see that.
Whoa.
He's insanely athletic. If he went to Clemson, he would be the first overall pick. The difference is he went to North Dakota State.
But I mean, like, how do you end up at North Dakota State if you're that talented?
Ask Carson Wentz. Look, I don't know his backstory. I have to look that up.
No, I just finalized my quarterback grades, and I was blown away watching Trey Lance. He's my quarterback 4 by a wide margin, and I agree with just about every point that Ryan just said, that the upside, we always hear that, especially with quarterbacks during the pre-draft process, is sky high with Trey Lance. Probably the strongest arm in the class, too. Runs like a running back, runs through tackles, can jump cut to make defenders miss. And the one full season that we saw from him, he was 19 years old. So, I mean, not only was he not that experienced, this wasn't some like redshirt transfer junior or something like that. That would be probably one of my favorite like pairings in the entire first round to learn, like Ryan said, even for a couple of months behind Teddy Bridgewater. It'd kind of be like the Matt Barkley, Josh Allen dynamic where like, Teddy Bridgewater is hyper accurate, knows where to go with the football quickly, could kind of help Trey Lance in those regards. And then Trey Lance will give you so much more from a physical perspective. I would love that fit. Even if the red shirt only lasts for half the season, I think ideally he would sit his entire rookie season. But Trey Lance really has like number one overall pick talent. He's just super raw.
So Brinson, 247 Sports actually wrote about this. So that makes sense. Trey Lance, he's from Minnesota. So he played at Minnesota. He received just 7 scholarship offers. Western Michigan, South Dakota State, Northern Illinois, Cornell, Brown, Boise State, North Dakota State. So he was a 3-star.
Well, he could have played in the MAC.
MAC or the Ivy League. If yeah. That gets you going. But yeah. he was a 3-star coming out to play quarterback and safety. So he's just a kid that was a 3-star. And then it all sort of came together for him. I'm not sure how much he grew and gained weight wise. He's 6'3", 225-ish. So, maybe he was smaller than that, but yeah, I mean, you know, we see these guys, you know, that they're just great athletes out of high school and then they sort of start putting it together. And
so does he sort of have like a little bit of Joe Burrow to him in the sense that
he's more Cam Newton in terms of his physical, he's not that big, but in terms of his ability to run, he has a better arm and I think he's more accurate than Cam.
Okay.
And I just think he hasn't played a lot of football. I think that's it.
Okay.
He's the best athlete in this draft class among the quarterbacks. Like he's Zach Wilson's athletic. Like he can move around the pocket.
Trevor Lawrence and Justin Fields are pretty athletic.
I think he's better. Yeah.
Okay. Trey Lance is, yeah, he's dynamic. I think his floor is like Colin Kaepernick. He kind of reminds me of Colin Kaepernick. Big arm, can really run and like in space, he will like lose cornerbacks down the field. But yeah, I think Cam Newton, Colin Kaepernick, somewhere in that range. That's the type of like physical specimen you're getting with Trey Lance.
I guess when I made the Burrow thing, I was sort of thinking about Joe Brady and how he could use him in the offense as like a, you know, extend
play. Joe Brady would love Trey Lance. Here's how I think about it. Would I like the Steelers to trade up for Trey Lance? 1,000,000,000%. That's
okay.
All
right.
So that's, you know, just like we do with the fourth down thing. That's where I'm at on Trey Lance.
And the Trey Lance thing for Carolina. See, Carolina more so than Atlanta makes sense to me as a team that should invest in it if they have a guy they like at 8 or if they want to trade up or they can't get Watson or whatever it is, because they have Teddy Bridgewater there who's going to play another year unless he's traded out. And so you don't have to put Trey Lance on the field right away. Like, you know, I mean, he's inexperienced. Yeah. I mean, he's going to see plenty of the field that, you know, his first year, I'm sure anyway, but you had the option if you were so inclined to play Teddy Bridgewater, to play PJ Walker. And then, you know, if the season's not going well, you roll out Trey Lance. I don't think they like playing, Teddy Bridgewater, but you know, the contract, they're stuck with him for at least one more year unless they trade him. Rounding out of the top 10.
Well, I have a statement to make. I want Trey Lance. I just heard these guys talk. Ooh. I don't care if he went to the same school. I don't care if he's related to Carson Wentz. It doesn't matter to me. These guys just sold me. If he's that good of a prospect.
He's Carson Wentz's son. Is that okay?
I'm in. I do not care anymore. I like that was glowing right there. I'm all in on Trey Lance.
I would love to see, like, if he went to Philly, I'd be like the Mac Jones thing concerns me because I have something vested in it, whatever, you know, like Trey Lance is just like everyone's I think everyone would be like, oh my God, this kid has a chance.
I just don't know if Howie can draft two guys from North Dakota State. Like, that's crazy.
You keep doing it till you get it right.
I mean, that's crazy. If you trade all that stuff for Carson Wentz and then go get Trey Lance.
But I mean, it's a sunk cost. They've moved on.
Yeah. And I guess the thing is, like, if he played at Youngstown State or, you know, wherever else, it's not like people would be like, oh, you can't do that. You know,
what is it with the South Dakota State? I mean,
South Dakota State, right.
I don't know the full list of all time quarterbacks drafted from North Dakota State.
I think it's a list of what?
The Eagles.
Easton Stickler.
Oh, that's right.
Okay. Yeah. So we didn't get him.
This place is a quarterback factory.
We skipped a quarterback. That's what Howie Roseman called, called the Eagles a quarterback factory.
All right. So Devo in on Trey Lance. Wow. I don't think it's like insane either that Trey Lance could go. I mean, could Trey Lance go as high as two, as high as four? Anybody taking Trey Lance?
I think four.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if he ended up going if the Jets love him, they took him at two, I'd be like, oh, I didn't see that coming, but it wouldn't surprise me. Like, he's a huge upside guy because we don't know a lot about him in terms of playing.
I will say that I think with the Matt Ryan thing, and I don't know why I feel this way, but like, Justin Fields played at a really high, I feel like if you draft Justin Fields, you need to be ready to play him. But like, I could see the Falcons sitting Trey Lance for 2 years and you learn Arthur Smith's system and you, for whatever reason, that sits well with me, but not the 1 year thing.
Traps reminded us, but I think the only quarterback sitting for 2+ years in this day and age is Jordan Love. I think everybody else is playing and right. Jordan Love, it's not his fault. You know, what's his face? Aaron Rodgers just is very vindictive and he's never going to retire now.
that's fair. That's fair. Okay. Last two picks of the top 10. You're the Broncos taking Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech, and the Cowboys taking Rashawn Slater, offensive tackle at Northwestern. I've heard a lot of buzz on Slater. He's sort of not being given, Wilson, the same level of love that, obviously that Penei Sewell gets, but he's a worthwhile prospect, right?
Yeah, he opted out this year, played left tackle, played at a really high level, when you watch him at Northwestern. So I'll ask, Trapasso this. Number one, should the Cowboys target another position at 10 because they have needs on edge rusher and cornerback? And number two, how do you like Rashawn Slater?
If this is how the board would fall, I think they should go offensive tackle because I don't think there's a corner, especially with Caleb Farley going to the Broncos at 9, that would be worthy of the number 10 overall pick. I know Patrick Surtain is there. I don't really see it with him to be this like elite lockdown corner right away. And the Cowboys offensive line is kind of getting old. Like Tyron Smith's going to be 31 in December. It seems like he should be like 41 at this point. Connor Williams is an unrestricted free agent after next season. I like Slater. I think Christian Darrisaw, who we're going to talk about later from Virginia Tech, is actually a little bit more pro ready. He's a little bigger and stronger, but Rashawn Slater's claim to fame, Northwestern Ohio State game last year or 2 years ago now, 2019, he did the best job of anyone in the country against Chase Young. And he's shorter arms. Like Chase Young was this like freak standing next to him, but Rashawn Slater, low center of gravity, good footwork, can really slide his feet against counter moves, can anchor, did a great job against Chase Young. So it was like after that game, it wasn't crazy to hear that Rashawn Slater opted out because that game on film looks like, you know, top half of the first round blocker.
All right. Any other thoughts on these guys in this top 10? Nope. Good. All right. Cool. We'll take a break. Oh, if you got one, go ahead, Traps.
Oh yeah. No, I was going to say Caleb Farley, number 9 overall, to the Broncos. I kind of brought it up earlier. There's kind of a debate of like who the consensus top corner is. And I want to hear Ryan's thoughts on this. Caleb Farley, Patrick Surtain, they're both over 6 foot. They're both 200 pounds, long arms. I think Caleb Farley's more athletic and he tracks the football better down the field. Surtain obviously has the bloodlines. He was at Alabama. He played as a freshman. I think he's a little stiff and I think he's going to have kind of a similar rookie season to what we saw in September from Trevon Diggs, like some high flashes and then getting burned down the field against a lot of these quicker separators with dynamic athleticism.
Yeah, that's actually pretty much how I feel about Caleb Farley and Patrick Surtain. And also Caleb Farley's he's a converted wide receiver. He hasn't been playing very long.
Yep.
But he's incredibly athletic. The upside there is huge. I've talked to folks in the league that absolutely love him, and they love him pretty high in the draft. And the thing about Surtain is he'll probably be a good pro, but he won't be a great pro. And yep. I think the things that the Trap says are exactly right. He's a little stiff. He's big. And I've talked to other folks in the league that aren't so, the thing is having these huge cornerbacks, but a lot of times when you're 6'1", you can't bend. And that's one of the things you have to sort of keep in mind. It's great to have guys that can sort of be physical at the catch point, but if you're getting toasted on in breaking routes or comebacks or whatever, it really doesn't serve the purpose. So yeah, that's where I'm at. Caleb Farley's one. Surtain is number two for me, but then it gets pretty close in terms of the guys that come afterwards.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will break down the rest of Wilson's first round.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
All right, so Giants at 11, 49ers. Let's see, if the Giants go with Micah Parsons, Niners taking DeVonta Smith. The Chargers taking Kyle Pitts. The Vikings taking Kwity Paye?
Just Paye. Kwity Paye.
Kwity Paye.
Kwity Paye, yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a video game character. And, the Pats taking Gregory Rousseau. Out of those traps, which of those picks interest you the most? Personally, I would say Kyle Pitts, just because giving Justin Herbert another weapon I find fascinating, but I'm curious if you think, you would go a different direction there.
No, I think DeVonta Smith, at number 12, would be fascinating. They have Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle, Debo Samuel, whoever the quarterback is in San Francisco, I think would be in a fantastic situation. We know that Kyle Shanahan's offense, it's predicated around yards after the catch. And I think DeVonta Smith is not like your traditional yards after the catch guy. He just bendy and he runs faster than people think. But yes, Kyle Pitts, going to the Chargers, I think, you know, you could go offensive line to protect Justin Herbert, but to give Justin Herbert a immediate replacement who's better than Hunter Henry at that tight end spot, I think would be huge. And you could really see Justin Herbert even improve from an offensive rookie of the year type season. The one I do not like, Gregory Rousseau to the Patriots at number 15. He just does not do it for me whatsoever as a prospect. You strictly be betting on upside, 6'7", 260, plays high, not a lot of power. I didn't really see pass rushing moves. And I thought a lot of his production as a true fresh or a redshirt freshman in 2019 was like coverage sacks, stunts, like him winning one-on-one. I didn't see that a lot. Certainly could have helped if he would have played instead of opting out in 2020. And the Patriots just, they're almost in rebuilding mode. The idea of getting like a premier edge rusher makes sense, but Gregory Rousseau to me, I just don't think he's worth the number 15 overall pick.
Okay. Wilson, defend yourself.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Chris, because, that's the issue with Rousseau. And the funny thing is he was number 15 last year, 2019 for Miami. And, the number 15 this year, Jalen Phillips has actually sort of skyrocketed past him, in terms of, so Gregory Rousseau is not my number two, edge rusher. Kwity Paye is my number one, but you know, you do a mock draft every week. You got to mix it up, but that's the issue. A lot of his sacks, as you mentioned, came inside as a zero technique. That ain't where he's not going to play there the next level. And so now the question becomes, we talked about Caleb Farley being a wide receiver. Gregory Rousseau was a wide receiver as well. How do you project him going forward as an edge rusher? And if you think he's going to get better and a lot better, you take him, you know, 15 to 32. If you don't, you put him as a second or third round pick or whatever. So that is a debate, and it's certainly one worth having. And I think I don't begrudge any of these kids for opting out, but I do think that he would have been better served. He's an example of a person better served coming back and playing. Jamie Newman, the quarterback out of Wake Forest / George, is another one. But again, they opted out for their reasons and you know, more power to them. But at the end of the day, it may end up costing them a few dollars, especially if some teams don't view Rousseau as highly as he was perhaps viewed had he played this year.
Okay. Yeah, one last thing that I want to say about this group It would be very Dave Gettleman to go defense at number 11. I mean, Micah Parsons is a great prospect, size, speed, pass rush ability from the off-ball linebacker spot. But with Danny Dimes going into year three and Devontae Smith and Kyle Pitts on the board, like, that has to be the pick. And I'm not trying to rag on Ryan's selections because I certainly know the perils of having to do a mock draft once a week and changing it up. But it would be very Dave Gettleman to go defensive front seven player instead of wide receiver when clearly that's what the Giants need and Kyle Pitts and Devontae Smith on the board.
Yeah. And I will say, I mean, the one thing about Dave Gettleman doing what's best for Dave Gettleman is I can see him wanting to, like, he knows that Daniel Jones has to impress this year. And yep. The Giants have to be better or else he's probably getting fired. And so I think I could see him saying that he did this for Cam with Kelvin Benjamin. Like, Kelvin Benjamin had a good first year.
Yep.
He said, I don't care what spot we're at. I'm taking the best wide receiver available or the first wide receiver available because I have to get my guys some weapons. Dave Gettleman,
how candid he is.
No, but when he's boxed in, he will take the best player available. And so I could see him thinking there's going to be a wide receiver or Pitts that falls to us here at 11. We're just going to sit at 11 and take the best one that comes to us. And you have to feel good that it, like, total worst case is you'd be taking Kadarius Toney at 11, which is that too high for him? I don't know.
Feels high, but you know, if a team loves him, they love him. He had a great season this year. He made himself a lot of money.
Okay. Moving along, Patrick Surtain. Do we feel like Surtain is a step-in lockdown corner, maybe the type of guy who could replace Patrick Peterson?
Well, he's not Patrick Peterson. A few people are. I mean, who in the last five draft classes, who's Patrick Peterson? It's hard to find those guys.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that could start right away. I mean, Byron Murphy played a lot. He was the first pick of the second round a few years ago, and he struggled. But again, it's a huge transition, even from Power 5 college football to the NFL. But I think if Patrick Surtain's Pat Pete's leaving, then certainly you need to have a plan behind that. Surtain's not a bad plan.
Yeah, and I think Surtain. Oh no, just one thing on that I think.
No, I was just gonna say, I always forget when I'm like, when I say something about Patrick Peterson that Debo's back there like, don't you dare talk about my colleague.
No, I would just say keep it locked to all things covered where Pat P might have an announcement to make in a couple weeks.
Whoa, whoa,
whoa,
whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Either way, it could be a return or it could be a new beginning. I didn't say either way. I'm not giving
up. Newsbreaker Debo here.
You think I know? You think I know?
I know. He's taking over the Pick Six podcast.
By all means. Come on, Pat. I don't think Pat P knows probably.
So who do you think would do better? Pat P as the host of the Pick Six podcast or you as the number one cornerback for the Cardinals?
Me? I mean, clearly Patrick Peterson, he already has a podcast.
I would pay 2 years of my salary to watch you play 16 games.
Do I get paid like Pat P?
Of course not. You get paid like Will Brinson, NFL quarterback.
Awful. I mean,
you get the better minimum. You get $9.78 or whatever that is.
Oh, I'll do everything the better minimum. That's fine. Yeah. I'll go do whatever for the vet men.
All right. Just throwing it out there.
Anyway, sorry, Traps, go ahead before I.
No, it's fine. I was just going to say that this fit makes a lot of sense because Surtain played a lot of man just on an island at Alabama. Patrick Peterson, not really his own corner, fantastic in man coverage his whole career with the Cardinals. So like that would be a logical replacement for Patrick Peterson, not someone that's going to sit back in zone and beat his ball hawk, someone that can really cover and move around the formation with the team's number one wide receiver.
Okay. I mentioned Kadarius Toney, 19th. To the Washington football team makes a ton of sense. They got to get help for whoever is going to be their quarterback, you know, TBD for WFT. But, but yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Moving along sort of into the 20 range, you have JC Horn to the Colts, Jason Owe to, is that right? Jason Owe?
Owe.
Jason Owe to the Titans, Rondale Moore to the Jets, Carlos Basham out of Wake. That guy's a stud to the Steelers. Yeah, and Christian Barmore out of Alabama to the Jaguars. Which one of these defensive guys strikes your fancy there, Traps?
Probably Carlos Basham. Just because when we throw around the word freak every draft season, I think it kind of probably happens a little bit too often. But Carlos Basham's like 6'5 and like 285 playing on the edge and like dipping and bending around offensive tackles. Super powerful. It's just that Sometimes with him, he can look like a third or a fourth round pick, just looks kind of complacent on the field. When he has it like turned all the way up, I think he's like a top 15 overall talent in this draft class. And at that size, you can play him at multiple positions. The Steel, he kind of feels like a Steelers guy, like, Cam Hayward, Stephon Tuitt, like they can play, end in a 3-4. You can kick him inside. You can play him on the edge. Steelers probably have to go offensive tackle early on, but if they do want to replace Bud Dupree, and they certainly need to do that, even though Alex Highsmith had a good rookie season, and I'm talking about Steelers stuff when we have Ryan on the podcast, but I think Carlos Basham is that Steelers kind of guy that can play anywhere and wreak havoc against the run and the pass.
Yep. No, that was my thinking pretty much. I mean, they would love to have an offensive lineman. A lot of the good ones are gone by then.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, they go any number of ways. They go wide receiver. They could certainly quarterback, trade up for, if I've already made that case. So yeah, when you're a, it's odd for a team that won 13 games or 12 games, whatever it was, to have so many holes, but that's where they are, starting with 500-year-old Ben Roethlisberger.
This, the back end of this draft, this first round, doesn't feel particularly sexy.
Yeah, it could be, but again, you know, cause we focus on the top 25 guys. I personally think there's a fall off after, I think most people agree, the five quarterbacks, but there's a fall off after five wide receivers as well, four or five. Now, some people love guys like Terrace Marshall, who's a big guy out of LSU. I don't know if he's a first round talent. He didn't play a whole bunch last year, because their team was not very good, but also he opted out right before the Alabama game, which is sort of bizarre. When he did play well the year before, is with Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase and Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Joe Burrow, which, okay, well, what caused what there? So I think Rashad Bateman's another guy out of Minnesota who looked a lot smaller, oddly enough, in 2020 before he opted out than he did in 2019. So there are questions about the positions outside of, for me, edge rusher and quarterback. I think the edge rush class is sort of surprisingly deep. Hmm. But yeah, I mean, you get to, you
it's
get to
not, the it's not, it's not very top heavy, but it's deep, right?
No. And, yeah, again, I think that, yeah, I think there's five to seven edge rushers that could and belong in the first, like, could go in the first round and should be picked in the first round. I think just going through the rest of them, and you can, you know, kind of talk about any of these. Jalen Phillips, who Ryan already mentioned from Miami, former number one recruit in the entire country at UCLA, had some concussions, retired from football, transfers to Miami, and I thought was his film was better than Gregory Rousseau's 2020 to 2019, just comparing those. And then Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, who Ryan has 31 overall to the Chiefs. I think if there was the combine, we'd be talking about this guy inside the top 20 because his explosiveness and his bend at like 6'3", 245 is special. So I think if the Chiefs could land him there, they certainly could use some edge rusher help. That would be like an awesome pick. They probably need offensive tackle at some point too, given their situation that we saw kind of rear its ugly head in the Super Bowl. But Azeez Ojulari from Georgia, I think is the one of the prospects that's hurt the most by not being able to really show out at the combine.
Mm. All right. Interesting. Debo says, who did you guys pick for my Dolphins at number 3 and 18? Anthony Manzano asks on, YouTube. This is, again, we are live doing this on YouTube. If you want to hang out on a Sunday afternoon to talk mock draft, we have at number 3 overall, Ja'Marr Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. Look at Debo. And at 18, we have Elijah Vera Tucker, offensive tackle out of USC. So they would have Tucker and,
So they drafted Austin Jackson, they drafted Robert Hunt, but Vera Tucker, here's the thing about him. They had a need, Austin Jackson left. So they had a need at left tackle that said, hey, Vera Tucker, go out there and play left tackle. He's a guard. He's a really good guard. He dominated at left tackle. So he's a guy that can play a lot of positions. And look, they drafted the two offensive linemen, but they need to get better along the offensive line. There's no doubt about it. So, I mentioned it earlier. Dolphins fans have in the past not been crazy about taking an offensive lineman at number 3. So here I get a really good one at 18. And I know there are teams that like Vera Tucker a lot, like him a lot as the number 2 offensive tackle in this draft class, not guard, tackle. So yeah, that's a great get at 18. Should he be there? But, you know, Dolphins fans, as you mentioned, the sexy part of it, that ain't particularly sexy.
Okay. Yeah. I think for the Dolphins, it makes a lot more sense to go wide receiver at number 3, because like Ryan said, there's a pretty big drop off to me, even after the top 3, like Ja'Marr Chase, Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, I think are alone in their own category. There's other good wide receivers. Ryan outlined them, Rashad Bateman, Rondale Moore is in this, mock draft, Terrace Marshall. You can get still a quality offensive tackle like Elijah Vera Tucker, who could maybe play guard, at number 18 overall. Like, to kind of reverse those, you could go Penei Sewell at three, but then the receiver that you're getting for Tua isn't quite as dynamic, and we know how valuable the receiver position has gotten over the last couple of years. So I really like this first round for the Dolphins. Receiver first, then offensive tackle.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, just sort of looking at the various, I don't know if we can only give grades to all these teams, but what was your favorite pick when you did this mock draft? Because I always find that I have those with, like, you know, I'm like, oh, you know, so-and-so won this draft. I'm like, well, I'm drafting for him. What am I talking about? How does that even work? But like, who did you think, you know, non Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, class, who did you think won the draft?
I do like Trey Lance to the Panthers a lot, and we talked extensively about that. But another name I'll mention is Rondale Moore, and Traps talked about him a second ago. He's played 7 games the last 2 years. That's a problem. He's 5'9". But he's balling out on social media right now. He had a 42-inch vertical as someone who's 5'9". He did his three-cone or his back-and-forth throw, whatever that thing was, and it was a blur. He looked like Jalen Waddle, full throttle. So the deal is he hasn't played a lot. He had hamstring issues 2 years ago. He opted out and opted in. Some weird things going on this year when he did play. But he is special. He, in my mind, all things being equal, is better than Kadarius Toney, and I love Kadarius Toney. He's a guy – I've had him in the past going to a team like the Bears. He's a guy that you can throw a quick screen to, and he does all the heavy lifting. He makes the 55-yard run into the end zone. It's just a matter of him staying healthy, and that's the big thing. I mean, you don't want to get a John Ross. You don't want to draft someone top 10 – and then, you know, he never plays. But if he's healthy and on the field, he is an absolute game changer.
I'll go with the Los Angeles Chargers with Kwity Paye. I kind of talked about it earlier. With Kyle Pitts. I'm right in front of Kwity Paye just because I think it's, again, easy to say that the Chargers need an offensive tackle. They can't put out Sam Tevy out there for year two of Justin Herbert. But they're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. We know that the Raiders have a pretty efficient offense. They loaded up on weapons and got the most out of Derek Carr, even with Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. And they got, you know, some bottom of the roster players that could win down the field last season. To get Kyle Pitts to immediately replace who's going to be their biggest free agent departure in Hunter Henry. Kyle Pitts, we know he's a wide receiver. He's 6'6". He's got a huge catch radius. I like the fact that he's still kind of skinny and he can bulk up. And that we saw him in line, even as an H-back, very willing blocker too. Like, he's not someone that just needs to be on the or in the slot, split out wide. He can win on all three downs, and I think would be a huge boost for Justin Herbert, even over going offensive tackle there.
Justin Herbert was going to be my winner. So instead, I'll just say that a loser is Mac Jones, not because he went 6th overall, but man. At City, you're coming in, like, they still root for Carson Wentz kind of in weird, like, Debo is still a Wentz fan. So he's going to.
Bigger loser, Mac Jones or Debo?
Me. Well, Debo to a bit.
I think I'm very much in the minority. I think the way that Wentz handled things, not speaking at the press conference, running the coach out of town, all these things about how he handled things, I think he is close to public enemy number one in Philadelphia right now. Fair or unfair? I do not think, you know, the next time the Colts play in Philadelphia, I think you'll hear a lot of boos, which I think is totally unfair and wrong.
You think you will hear boos?
I do.
All right, I was sort of on the other impression. I was sort of on the impression that people were, like, kind of mad at Howie and the team and not mad at Carson Wentz. I think they should be mad at Carson Wentz.
I think both can be true. I think there should be reasons to be mad at Howie and the team. And like I said before, I'm going to be an Eagles fan much longer than I'm a Carson Wentz fan. But I realize the way that the Eagles organization kind of screwed Carson Wentz in a lot of cases. He did not play well. He deserves some of the blame, but I would never boo him if he comes back to the city.
How did the Eagles screw him over? They acquiesced to every single demand he had. He played like crap. He was the worst quarterback in football last year. And then they sent him to the only place that he wanted to go despite not being able to get anything returned for him and taking a gigantic dead cap hit this year. How did they screw him?
During the season.
How did they do him wrong?
I mean, you could say drafting, you know, rewarding him with an extension. Great for him. drafting a quarterback 51st overall, not great, not giving him many weapons, and then just circumstances where there wasn't a lot of health around him. He still played horrible. I'm not defending
his play whatsoever.
You know
what it sounds like, Devo? You're describing Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I said Aaron Rodgers is top five quarterback of all time. Carson Wentz isn't anywhere close to that. So I thought we'd get better play.
Is Carson Wentz even a top five Eagles quarterback of all time?
It's a limited history.
Jaworski.
Cunningham.
Randall Cunningham.
Who else you got, Debo? Roman Gabriel.
I mean, he had his Sonny Jorgensen. He had the single greatest season of an Eagles quarterback of all time. That's a little,
2017?
Yeah. That's the best.
He played like 12 games.
It's still true. They won the Super Bowl because of him.
I will say this. Carson Wentz is the best Steagles quarterback of all time. I'll give him that.
Steagles quarterback? We're missing Norm Van Brocklin, right?
Yeah,
Mike Vick?
If we go way back.
He's not top five.
He was much better than Vick.
Right.
So you said you wouldn't boo him. Would you boo Freddie Mitchell?
No. Freddie Mitchell gave me probably a top three moment of my childhood.
I'm trying to think which Eagles, like, is there an Eagles player you would boo?
Jason Babin. Hated that guy.
Oh.
That's going deep.
Jason Babin reference, yeah.
Yeah, you didn't think I'd say that one.
I have a question for Debo. Like, Will's saying that number six overall, Mac Jones, like, it would be a loser, because I think Philly Sports Radio would just go berserk if he was the pick at number six. Like, when was the last time that the Eagles made a first round, like, draft pick that, like, Philly Sports Radio didn't, like, set on fire, like, the next day?
This is a great question. I think Wentz, there was a little question.
Was there a lot of, okay.
Cause the school he came from, there was debate, but it was just like, hey, if we believe in this quarterback from a small school, like, let's buy in. But the next year, Derek Barnett, they did not want Derek Barnett. That was in Philadelphia. It wasn't a huge applause for that one. And then he made a crucial play in the Super Bowl. It's a great question. I mean, Andre Dillard isn't a sexy pick. Jalen Reagor, everybody wanted another receiver. So no, it's a great question. I'm going back in my mind.
It's a rarity.
The Eagles got killed too. Remember, did you see that video that leaked out later with the Vikings where they're in the war room. It's Mike Zimmer and Rick Spielman. Yeah. And they're like, they took Jalen Reagor. They're like, get Justin Jefferson on the phone. And then hang up. It's pretty debilitating. All right. Last question. We'll get out of here. Wilson, how many Top Shots did you buy this weekend?
None. I didn't even watch any basketball. So
Traps, are you in on Top Shot?
Oh God.
No, I'm not. Not at all.
You know who got in a big way this weekend?
Yes. Eric D. Bairdinas got in to.
How'd you know?
Oh, he was chipping about it, when you took last Sunday off and you were studying up.
But Ryan doesn't know about Friday, Will.
Yeah, what happened Friday? I saw all you weirdos in line to pick up videos that are readily available on YouTube. Is that what you're talking about?
Debo got a pack on Friday, sweated it out. There's a Slack thread with, several of us. You know,
a company Slack thread?
No, it's a private Slack.
Go on.
Apparently Devo and EK like end up talking about like
it's a group text. Shots. It's not a Slack. It's a group text, Will.
It's a group text, right?
I misspoke.
You know me. I don't know technology. No, but Devo and EK apparently end up leading like meetings for like the first 10 minutes talking about Top Shot. But my point being is that. Yeah. Debo pulled a James Harden metallic card out of the Friday drop, immediately worth $2,500. Do you think he sold
Debo,
it?
Can I ask what the buy-in is? Is that okay to ask?
It was $99 for everyone. This was considered a premium pack. All of their packs are around $9. So that's, you know, easy for people to get in. But gotcha. There was $99 pack and still, what was it? 200,000 people online.
Yep. And not one of us had, except Debo, had a number inside 20,000. There were only...
How many Hardens were released?
I think it's like...
A couple hundred?
200 out of, you know...
Wow, that's like lottery type winning. Right,
yeah, my odds were well below 1% to pull that card, so... But I'm holding it. I'm not selling.
there were 10,000 cards released, 10,000 packs released. Debo was at like 11,300, but it got in pretty easily. And then is it the dunk? It's the
why are you
looking at? It's the jump shot. It's the cheap. There are 499 of them made total. Mm-hmm. That's really low. It is considered a rare card, and the lowest purchase price you can get right now on one of them is $3,225.
So could Debo turn around immediately and sell it, or do you have to wait?
No, you can sell it immediately. No. And what number was yours, Debo? 200?
233 out of 499.
Wilson. In fact, Debo has his listed on the marketplace right now.
Yeah, I think Debo said everyone's, like, you can see anyone's stuff, right?
No, but you don't have to list it. You can just sit on it.
Oh, I thought he said he wasn't selling it.
Well, he has it listed for $8,549. So that's the price for Debo's Harden card if you're interested in purchasing it.
Brinson, I told 80,000. Yeah, I told Brinson, he told me, you know, one night he hopped on there after like a drink or two. So I'm just hoping someone has six or seven drinks and is like, wow, this seems like a reasonable price. This looks like $800 and not $8,000.
No, nobody listening to this podcast believes that I had one or two drinks and then got on top.
So one or two in our, that's what you said to our group test.
Debo, you immediately get this Harden card and it's already worth $2,500 like seconds after you get it. And if you sell it, some other buyer like a Brinson out there would pay $2,500 for it immediately.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was stuff sold all day today, yesterday for above $3,000. So I'm going to hold steady for a little while, see how this thing rolls. I feel lucky to have it. So, we'll see where it takes me.
I actually unloaded a bunch of my moments over the last two or three days and
interesting. Interesting. Getting nervous?
No, I just have some stuff that I sold. I mean, I've made two or three times value on every single one of them. So why not collect some cash, maybe go into something bigger? I sort of wish I'd done it a couple weeks ago, but that's okay.
But Will, Ryan isn't the biggest hater, at CBS. We know that.
Yeah. Amanda Guerra, the biggest hater.
Oh yeah. I see her tweeting about it.
Yeah. That's when you know, she listens to the podcast, so I don't mind saying this, but like, that's when you know it's jumped the shark. Is when you and Amanda turn the corner and dive into Top Shots, sell, baby, sell. It's over. The movement is ended.
I'll be honest. I wanted to know nothing about this, but I can't not know it between you two numbnuts. So that now I have to.
You should try and get in these drops to get a pack and give it to your kids.
No, I'm good.
Okay.
If they're going to get anything, one's going to get a lawnmower and the other one's going to get
a weed eater.
I can't think of what the other thing was going to be.
All right, that's it for the show. Chaps, thank you for joining us, buddy. Wilson is always an excellent mock draft. And we will have much more content coming your way this week. So make sure to stay tuned, subscribe, rate, review, leave 5-star reviews if you want a mailbag question answered. Talk to you guys later.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.